Hello everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and this is another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Today I've kidnapped my colleague Klaas Jan, who was last on the network talking about the skating. Did that ever go ahead?
No, it never went ahead.
What happened?
Yeah, the ice wasn't thick enough, so let's focus on the technical things again now.
Another 15 years to wait, do you think?
Yes, I don't know.
Very sad and depressed. Anyway, today I want to talk about the Raspberry Pi. We had some discussions yesterday over a cup of coffee about what it is. So for people who don't know, some guys who work at Broadcom decided to put together a small PC device based on an ARM processor that would be used in the educational field as a way to get kids interested again in computers and back to the old days of the BBCs, if people had them, and that sort of thing. Now, what was interesting for the hacker community, of course, is that the prices of these things are aimed at $25 for one model, and for the other model, a whopping $35. So for the price of even one of the lowest-end tablets, you could get 10 of these little devices. Now, here we have Klaas-Jan, who's a hardware hacking enthusiast, I guess. First of all, Klaas-Jan, let's give us a brief history of what you did for your school project, for instance.
Yes, I programmed in my free time. I program a lot of microprocessors with the C code, normally Microchip, Atmel, that are the most common low-end devices I program. So they're low-speed, 8 megahertz up to 60 megahertz running devices. Very close to hardware-specific things, not really close to software-specific things like the Raspberry. So that is more Ken's expertise, the Unix part of that one. So I think it's nice to talk a little bit about the low-end capabilities of the device. I think the rest you can all find on the internet.
I just want to say that this thing will run Ubuntu or Debian or a native Linux version. But what I wanted to get here was Klaas-Jan. We're going to go through the specs from the Wikipedia page and just maybe give you an idea more on the hacking side, what's possible.
Yes, I think I don't know how it works a little bit with the drivers, but probably we need to see the board itself, how it works with the drivers, how to address the low level the low level part of the board. But we're going to talk a little bit about the general purpose interface, the UART interface, the I2C bus, the SPI bus. That are the two low level of the low level.
But before we go to that, you as far as I know, the way that they're going to drive those is using the proc file system. So you write ones, or not proc file system, the written drivers, and you just write ones and zeros to files. So it should be easy to program that in any language, Python,
yes,
C, or even Bash programming.
I think that counts for the general purpose I/O.
Okay, let's
and
start.
I think for the serial port, I think it's the same way you will do it in a normal operating system.
What do you think of the ARM processor itself? It's a 700 megahertz.
Yes, I think it's a very fast ARM processor if you compare it with a normal Atmel low-cost CPUs, like the $2 CPUs where you can only do low-level communication with it and no Ethernet is applicable. So I think it's a very good choice. It's very fast.
The GPU?
Yeah.
It's a separate video core.
Yes, I'm not really familiar with that one, so
you're able to do H.264 1080p.
So I think it's a very interesting board to see when it comes out.
Video-wise, but we're also not going to focus on that.
No, yeah.
It's going to be 128 meg of RAM in the Model A, and in the Model B there's going to be 256 shared with the GPU. There's going to be one USB port in the Model A and two in the USB via an integrated USB hub.
Yes, and that's, I think, nice. What you see with the laptops and with the tablets and with the computers, they don't have a low-level, easy way to communicate to the outside world. You always need a serial port or a USB port or an Ethernet port to communicate to a low-level design, like a motor, like a button, an LED, an dimmer, a lightning dimmer, etc., etc. And this board already, by default, has some low-level capabilities, like the 8x general purpose I/O. So,
okay, let's go down to that. We have, of course, the video composite HDMI, and we have audio jack. We've got onboard storage SDMMC slot, and on the Model 2, you have a 10100 Ethernet card. Now, what's a GPIO?
I think it's a general purpose I/O interface.
Yeah.
I think this board operates at a voltage of 3.3 volt. So theoretically, on the output of a GPIO, you can solder to a connector an LED, for example.
Yeah.
A small LED, not a power LED. And then you can control it by the software, as you described earlier, with this...
turn it on and off.
Turn it on and off.
Light on and off.
Yeah. So that's a very use. Of course, if you want to switch a lightning bulb in your house, for example, like 60 watts, of course you cannot attach it directly to the I/O of the board. You need some... you can do a mechanical transformer in between, like a relay, so you can... And then a little bit of driver. So it's very easy to integrate this, almost computer, directly with external hardware.
So it would be a relatively simple thing to have send a voltage out on this general purpose I/O port.
Yes.
Which would switch a switch, and that switch would switch the real switch.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a little bit... that's nice. I see it has 8. So you can do some...
So you can
limit
LEDs going on.
Yes.
Plus you can also take an input circuit.
Yeah. It's an I/O. You can configure it as an input or as an output.
So for a combination of 1 and 8.
Yeah.
So like you could then wire up a sensor to your windows of your house, for instance,
and switch on your alarm, etc.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Display it on the screen or publish it on your web server running on your Unix machine saying that the window is open. So this is kind of nice features. Of course, the 8 general purpose I/O is not very a lot. It's nice for playing around. It's nice for troubleshooting. It's nice to make a flashing light or a blinking light.
So you're saying don't buy this card?
I say buy it definitely because it has a lot of more possibilities. So if you want to extend it for bigger projects, you can make use of the. For example, it has an Square C bus. That's a bus I think original designed by Philips, and it is a bus designed to communicate between integrated circuits on the board itself.
Yeah.
It's very nice bus. It's a two-wire bus. It's not designed for long-distance communication, but you can buy a very small microchip, I think it's a couple of dollars, to do an I/O expander. So with an I/O expander, you can just have another 8 I/Os. So if you buy 6 of these small integrated circuits, you solder them on a PCB, you connect it to the Square C bus on your board, and you have another 64 I/O in and outputs, configurable.
I like that. And what sort of price range would they normally be? How? I mean, that's obviously more complicated.
Yes,
you're talking about hacking now.
Yeah, the I2C bus is very common. You can buy a temperature sensor that you can integrate on the I2C bus as well. The only bad thing, to publish it on an internet site, you need always have a microchip in between to publish it to your laptop or PC, but this board makes it possible because it has already this low-level capability
built in.
And that is the advantage of this board.
For
example,
you could buy one of these extenders, put temperature sensors front, back of the house, wind sensors.
Yeah.
They would then theoretically come through these boards and
yeah.
end up on your computer in a text file saying 96 degrees out or
yes.
30 degrees
the
out.
Only bad thing, as I indicated already, the I2C bus is not very likely to be used for that one because it's a low distance communication protocol. It's more like to read in buttons, etc.
But if you built another board attached to that,
yes.
And then go from
but
there.
For example, if you look a little bit, it has also a UART on that one.
Yeah.
And I think that's a universal asynchronous receiver and transmitter. We see it in the professional world still as an RS-232 port.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a small converter that makes it RS-422 or RS-485. That are all standardizations on the UART interface, so you can achieve longer distance up to 1 kilometer up. So that's very nice. Of course, a UART port you have on a default laptop and a PC as well. But
that's just a relatively simple serial port.
Yes, it's a serial port. You can.
But there's only one of them, so you don't have the more.
No, but you can buy a USB to serial converter as well, because
okay.
it has a USB port on there as well. So that's very basic. You can make use of that combination of this general purpose I/Os as well. So I think then it has another more sophisticated interface as well. That's called the SPI interface. It's a little bit the same as an I2C bus, only I'm not really familiar. It's a little bit more complicated bus, and it is really, really much more faster. And it is used only for also short communication lines. So that is by default, it's part of the board. So that's very nice, and you don't have that on a default laptop or a default computer. So that's a big advantage as well.
So you definitely see this as being something a hardware hacker might be interested in.
Yes, you can do a lot of homebrew projects with this board. Very simple, very basic, without needing a very expensive PC with a lot of additional hardware, because the hardware is already on top of the board. So the SPI interface, it's a really lot faster interface. You can use it for attaching more memory. You can use it for attaching put sound communication on that one, etc., etc. So it is a lot of nice low-level general purpose hardware
hacking stuff
on there. Yeah, and that you don't see a lot with a default laptop or a default computer.
And it's kind of like an Arduino on steroids, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. And also it's coming into the same price range as the Arduino, I think.
Yes, it's a little bit more expensive, but if you buy an Arduino with an Ethernet board, you definitely are maybe even more expensive than this board.
You have a few Arduinos, yeah?
Yeah, I have a few Arduinos with some Ethernet boards as well, and here it's all in one board.
Yeah.
So it's very nice.
And you can SSH into this, obviously.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And the power rating, 500 milliamps?
I think that's not a lot.
You could probably feed them power over Ethernet, so run your Ethernet cable.
Yes, I think it is not default, but yeah.
It's not something you need.
I don't know if it can take, but probably if you have an off-the-shelf USB hub, you can power it off the USB connector itself.
Yeah.
So that would be a very interesting board.
And it's quite size.
Yes, small. It's very nice that I would like to go always for the B board because it has default Ethernet on there.
Yeah.
And Ethernet makes
the difference. It's like 35. Versus 25.
Yeah.
And according to Wikipedia, it runs Debian and Fedora and Arch Linux. So
yeah. So I think this board is definitely a benefit to people that want to play a little bit around with the homebrew electronica project around the house.
Okay. Well, they haven't started taking orders yet. So when they do, we'll keep you in touch. And feel free, everybody, to send in some tips and tricks on what you've done to hardware hacking in general. Klaas-Jan, quickly, any projects that you would see in your future?
Some home domotica project, definitely. Control the blind, home automation, to control the blinds, to control the lighting, control the switching. And also because it has an advantage of Ethernet, web server controlled by a tablet from home, control the heating systems, etc., etc.
Okay, so how would you see that having in each floor one of these, or?
Yes, I think because it's so cheap, it's really easy to do have multiple boards around the house, because it makes the cabling a lot easier.
Yeah, it's actually the price of a sensor, really.
Yes, the sensor is much more expensive. Yeah, of course you need to still buy the high power components like dimmers or relays still, but I think it's.
And how would you go about switching those then? Well, typically, is this something a standard hardware shop would have? Say you wanted to control dimmers.
You have default dimmers, what are very expensive. Sometimes you can build them yourself, of course. But now these days we don't use a lot of dimmers anymore with the LED lighting and such.
Yeah.
So normal switching would be very simple, achievable with this one.
Cool.
Yeah. So I think I would like to see
a few of them in action. And
a few of them in action, yes, definitely, yeah. I now do a lot of stuff with Arduino boards, but they are difficult to having simple communication like SSH, Telnet, web server, running website.
Not
you have a lot of already default on this board.
Yeah, so you're already, you've got the whole OS sorted and you can concentrate on your hardware.
File system.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that covers it for today. Klaas-Jan, thanks very much for taking the time to record this.
Yeah, no problem.
And tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRef projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.